Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Story now about how the United States and the Obama administration may have moved on from some policies and decisions made in the wake of the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks, but that some people in the rest of the world who became victims of some of those decisions are not ready to move on. They're calling out for justice, even today. The European Court of Human Rights has now ruled that America's treatment of Khaled al-Masri, a German citizen, amounted to torture, and that his capture, kidnapping, and disappearance violated the basic tenets of human rights. 9 years ago, al-Masri was seized by local security officers in Macedonia. He was held for 23 days at the behest of the U.S. government, then turned over to the CIA. At the CIA's behest, he was flown to Kabul, Afghanistan, held for over 4 months in an American-run cell, never charged with a crime, never offered counsel, never got to speak to his family. At the end, it turned out the United States had the wrong guy in this particular case. Jim Goldston is a lawyer for Mr. al-Masri and executive director of the Open Society Institute. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Has the U.S. ever disputed any fact in this case of the ones that I just outlined there and the others that you know?
The United States has never commented on this case. In fact, in 2005, there was a clear opportunity to do so when then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was meeting with Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. And at the conclusion of their meeting, they came out together and had a live press conference at which Chancellor Merkel at that time said that she was grateful that the Secretary had now acknowledged that an error had been made in the case of Mr. al-Masri. But Secretary Rice at the time declined to comment, and the United States government said they would have no comment on that, and they denied they'd made any acknowledgement in the matter. So the United States has simply never commented on what has happened.
What was the case before the European Court of Human Rights? Simply to talk about bad things done by the United States? Are we talking about a question of damages here? What was the plaintiff seeking?
So to be clear, the European Court of Human Rights does not have jurisdiction over the actions of the United States government. It has jurisdiction over the 47 member governments of the Council of Europe, like England, France, Germany, etc. And in this case, the court was addressing Macedonia, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia's role in what happened to Mr. al-Masri. And the court made findings of fact and made legal rulings that Macedonia breached the European Convention of Human Rights, which protects things like the right to life, the right not to be tortured, etc., in respect of the operation of Mr. al-Masri. But the very significant thing as well was that the court specifically found facts with respect to what the CIA agents did at the airport in Skopje, Macedonia in January of 2004, and I'd be happy just to quickly tell you what they said.
I would love to hear that, but before we get into that, this is all about what was called the Extraordinary Rendition Program, where in the wake of the September 11th attacks, the CIA and U.S. officials would make sure that individuals who were suspects would be taken in places around the world and then taken other places where maybe rules about torture were a little more lax, shall we say, than they might have been in the United States. Is that essentially the policy that was, among other things, on trial here?
That's correct. It was extraordinary rendition, meaning transfer from one jurisdiction or state to another without legal process to a situation of detention and interrogation and often resulting in torture. That's what has happened in many of these cases.
So the European Court of Human Rights has ruled that Macedonia's role in all of this and the CIA's role in all of this was what?
So the court ruled that Macedonia has engaged in breaching Mr. al-Masri's rights not to be tortured, his rights not to be arrested arbitrarily, that it failed to investigate what happened to him, and it ordered that that Macedonia provide monetary compensation to him.
And as for the U.S. officials who were on European soil?
So the court said what it characterized what it called the treatment suffered by Mr. El-Masri at Skopje Airport at the hands of the special CIA rendition team. It said that he was handcuffed and blindfolded, taken from a hotel, driven to the airport. He was beaten severely by several disguised men dressed in black, stripped and sodomized with an object, then placed in diapers, dressed in a dark blue short-sleeve tracksuit, shackled, hooded, subjected to total sensory deprivation, then put on a plane, a CIA plane, that took him to Kabul, Afghanistan via Baghdad, and that all this was done to cause severe pain or suffering in order to inflict punishment or intimidate Mr. El-Masri, and that the treatment as a whole amounted to torture in breach of Article 3 of the European Convention.
Now, was the evidence in this case just Mr. El-Masri's story, or did the were there exhibits that basically indicated that this in fact took place?
So the court first detailed that Mr. El-Masri has spoken a great deal about this in sworn affidavits filed in United States courts where he did not obtain redress, and that he has been telling his story to a number of authorities again and again very consistently, time after time, for 9 years. But in addition, the court pointed to a number of other corroborating factors, including the fact that various European authorities in the European Union, the German Bundestag or Parliament, had conducted extensive investigations and found that much of what Mr. El-Masri had said was true. And then finally, a final piece of evidence it relied upon was the affidavit submitted by a witness who was the Minister of Interior in Macedonia at the time that this operation took place. And that witness testified in writing that what Mr. El-Masri said, that he was in fact held under the orders of the CIA by Macedonian officials, and that he was transferred to a CIA authorities in a plane and taken away at the time that Mr. El-Masri said.
Do you have any expectation that the Obama administration will respond to this in any way? And how's Mr. El-Masri doing?
Well, our hope and our expectation is that the Obama administration will take this finding very seriously and to heart, and that it offers a new opportunity to move away from the posture that then-President-elect Obama offered just before he took office in 2009, when he said he was going to look forwards and not backwards. And I think it's very clear that that has really not helped matters in the intervening years, and the time has come now to look searchingly at what the United States' role in all these kinds of abuses has been, and to lay them on the table, and if necessary, to undertake criminal inquiries where those are appropriate.
And your client, how's he doing?
Mr. El-Masri is not doing very well. He is in prison in Germany at the moment, the product of an incident of violence, and there were various psychological tests done with respect to him that confirmed that he had suffered enormous trauma as a result of the treatment that he suffered. So he's not doing very well at the present time.
Jim Goldstein is executive director of the Open Society Institute, a lawyer for Mr. Khaled El-Masri, who successfully sued in the European Court of Human Rights over his treatment under the Extraordinary Rendition Program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.